the John Williams Show on Radio 720 WGN. It's getting sunny out there, Bob. The weather's getting good.
Not likely they'll call off the Aaron Water Show.
It's got to be wrapping up soon, doesn't it?
It wraps up at 3. Like,
is that the original timing, or is that
the
pushback
timing? No, that's
Well, so they've got a little bit.
Violetta goes leaping out of a plane tomorrow.
Tomorrow with the Golden Knights. Her and Peanut Tillman, I believe, will both separately be doing that.
For her.
Yeah, good for her.
I was thinking while she was talking, will she take a selfie? I'm sure they don't let you
Well, that's a good question.
Maybe a GoPro.
She said there's going to be all sorts of cameras on her. I think she'll be wearing a GoPro, and they'll be filming her getting in the plane, taking off, doing everything. So at WGNradio.com, I would think by Monday, by the time Ro hits the air on Monday afternoon,
we'll have some
We'll have that up at WGNradio.com.
So did we answer the question if you would jump out of a perfectly good airplane?
I don't know if we did. I like the idea of doing it. I don't know that I could ever actually get myself to do that. I just don't know. I don't know if I could. I like the idea of the free fall and the floating and seeing all that and experiencing it, but I think my stomach would literally come up through my throat.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were saying swinging on the swing set is an uncomfortable experience for you.
Yeah, so yeah, it's like
skydiving might not be
the thing for me. Might not be the thing for me. Or maybe it's much easier. Maybe it's just a straight free fall, and it's the back and forth on the swing that has me. I mean, he's a bad swinger on the swings, but he can jump out of an airplane. I don't know. Phil Rogers writes for MLB.com. You remember him for many years for our Chicago Tribune. He joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Phil, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks for being with us. Phil, completely out of the ordinary question, have you ever jumped out of an airplane, and would you?
I have not, and I don't think I could.
Just because your body would say, no, we're not doing this?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't really like standing right next to the window anytime you're above the 12th floor, maybe. So.
Oh, really? Okay.
I don't think that would be my sort of a thing. No. Maybe with the right medication, but I don't think so.
It's the type of thing you could see Joe Maddon having his team do on a trip if the brass didn't get involved, right? We wear onesies. Let's all jump out of a plane as we head to Pittsburgh. Let's do that. I could see that as a great team-building Joe Maddon-type thing that nobody would ever allow him to do.
Yeah, but you know what? He would not make anybody do it. And he would be sensitive to people that, had issues with it. He wouldn't, he does, while they do all the goofy stuff, they don't do a lot of the things I've seen through the years in baseball where the older players put pressure on younger players to do things they don't want to do. And I could see it as an off day activity somewhere. But he would totally respect the guys that wanted to decline.
Because he's not, that's interesting, because while they do all these crazy things, it's team building, it's fun, goofy, silly activities to take away from the grind, but not the hazing craziness that maybe you would have seen 20 years ago from older players on a team to younger players.
Yeah, and I don't think that's just limited to the Cubs. I think Major League, I think maybe one reason so many young players come into Major League Baseball now and do well pretty much right off the start is because teams have gotten smarter and made it a more welcoming place. And there is less, the number of young players has grown in clubhouses. The number of old players has diminished. It just seems like it's much easier for a 23-year-old kid who's never been in the big leagues to come up and be accepted as a big leaguer than it was 30 years ago, 20 years ago. I mean, it used to be baseball clubhouse used to be a very, very unwelcoming place for newcomers, and I think mercifully that's changed.
Well, and it's interesting when you look at like the Bryce Harper stuff with, was it Papelbon last year, and how that worked out. Do the young kids just command more respect because of their level of play, or has it just become more welcoming? Because you see a lot of things that, Kerry Wood used to, who was the insanely fast guy for the Cubs a few years ago? I think he told a story on WGN Radio once.
Tony Campana, little guy.
I think he liked to wear his hats with a flat brim, like Arrieta does, right? And I think Kerry Wood would cut the brim off every one of his hats until he fixed it. And he would just do that to him over and over, kind of a, you're going to respect the game, you're going to do it our way. And now you got Jake Arrieta out there with a flat cap and a lot of these guys doing things that maybe 20 years ago the older players never would have allowed.
Yeah, I mean, Griffey Jr. Used to get mocked for the backwards cap in BP. That was kind of the first cap-wearing individuality that I saw. But, yeah, I just think for whatever the reason, people are allowed to be who they are, and there's less, you know, and I think Major League Baseball gets some credit for it. We've yet to have an out of the closet openly gay Major League player, but that day is fast coming. And, you know, if you listen to what players say for the record, I think it's just an accepting environment where it, you know, it totally used to be the most regressive, least educated, least intelligent. You know, it was like prided. The dumber something could be, the more people liked it. And I don't know why that was, but there was, you know, just a huge caveman element in baseball. And somebody else might look at it differently now and still see that element, but I really don't. And I look at guys like Chris Bryant that, you know, from his first day, you know, he used to be a really talented young guy, would have to get knocked down, and, you know, pitchers would on his own team would like throw at him in spring training and batting practice and stuff. And, you know, you had to earn it.
Yeah.
And to some degree, it was even the hardest for the first round draft picks who didn't have to pay their dues before they got their first $1 million paycheck and all that stuff. But, you know, I managers are younger, front offices are younger. Front offices are full of people that didn't play the game, and it's just across the board a much better culture for young players. And I do think, you know, there was, back to the original point, I mean, there was the thing of you're going to do this whether you want to do it or not, and here's what we do when we're in this town. And it could be to the point of, you know, players who weren't even drinking age being – kind of led into binge drinking with 30-year-old, 35-year-old major league players who go out every night and drink a lot. Although I will also say another thing that's changed is that culture. I don't think players routinely close bars the way they have throughout the history of baseball. I think players take better care of themselves, and, you know, just across the board, it has been a real shift in that baseball culture, I think.
And for the best, and maybe that's one of the things that's really helping this Chicago Cubs team right now that's had so many young players like a Chris Bryant, like a Schwarber, like these guys that have come up and had to adjust and play at such a high level. As we look into the Cubs going into the stretch run here, Phil, this amazing record they have right now, that really firing on all cylinders right now. They added Aroldis Chapman, even though he's had a couple of difficult moments in closing games. They look stronger than ever. So as we head into almost the last month of the season with such a big lead, what do you see as the big issues the Cubs face? Is it tough in a weird way to be in a position where you're up 13, 14 games and possibly halfway through September the games are going to lose a lot of meaning?
No, I think they'll be perfectly fine with that. You know, and I think the fact that Joe Maddon has had so much playoff experience himself, I mean, it's hard. You don't think of the Tampa Bay Rays as a powerhouse. But from 2008 through 2013, I think they might have been in the playoffs 5 out of 6 years, or I mean, it was 4 out of 6. It was a big number, and so, you know, not with a big lead in any of those years like the ones the Cubs have this year. But, you know, I think he fully understands how to rest guys without having them lose their sharpness. So I don't really think. Yeah, I think it's going to be a fatigue issue of when September 1 rolls around and everybody starts looking every day at the playoff pairings. Well, here are the wild card. Although that's tricky for the Cubs, because as the leading team leading the league in wins, you get the wild card winner. So you have to look at two teams every day that, you know, this could be your first round opponent, this guy or this guy. But I think there'll be so much talk of that I think fans and certainly, you know, people who follow baseball through the media will get a little worn out of hearing about these prospective matchups and stuff before they get there. But I think the Cubs, meanwhile, will use their time wisely to take a look at, you know, you'll see before August 31st with all the little roster machinations you have to do, the Cubs will find a way to have a big group of players eligible for their postseason roster, and then it'll be about who gets the last spot. How do you shape out the bullpen? That's probably the biggest question. There's probably, you know, 10 guys in the running for seven spots or however that, whatever those numbers wind up being. I'm a little, you know, I mean, I think getting the bullpen healthy, you know, I didn't really think the stroke injury would be that negative at the time, but I did say the thing is it hurts the depth. You can't afford to have another one. And then Rondon comes along right after. And I think Rondon's issue to me is more concerning than Strope. Strope has a minor knee issue that is corrected with, you know, with that arthroscopic surgery almost 100% of the time. And I think he should be back and be fine by the time the playoffs roll around. But Rondon, having the history of the Tommy John surgery and all that, and I'm a little concerned about him. And I think even after they got traded for Chapman, I mean, they were still looking at Rondon as the eighth inning guy and a big part of the bullpen. So getting those guys healthy, and I think you do, even though Madden is so creative and how, and the guys are versatile and being able to be used a lot of different ways, you need to have some routine established for who pitches the seventh, who pitches the eighth, how it's most likely to shake out. And right now, that's just sort of a big ball of relief pitchers in front of Aroldis Chapman. By the way, I would not still be stunned to see Jonathan Papelbon be in that Cub mix. It's, that story's kind of gone to the distant burner over this last week, but Papelbon is still out there, and in the time the Cubs have been considering him, they've not said that they have no interest. You know, Rondon got hurt too, so I'm, you know, in the short term, I'm interested to see where Papelbon winds up. And I think he could be a, you know, certainly when you have this much time to try things out, you know, it's kind of like, I think the other day Madden said when he had Contreras catch Arrieta that he was going to take him on a test drive. Mm-hmm. And you can do that, you know, for these next 6 weeks. And, you know, I think bringing in a guy with Papelbon's guts and experience, you know, I think it would be a good thing at this point in time. And if for whatever reason it didn't work out, you know, you could cut ties and you're not bound to, you know, ride with a guy into the playoffs. Yeah. So I don't see much downside in bringing in Papelbon.
And no clubhouse concerns? I mean, we talked about him and Bryce Harper. We brought in Aroldis Chapman. There's some concern because it's such a young club and they have such great chemistry right now. There's always talk whenever the Cubs add somebody who's a name or has any baggage with them about how will this fit in with the clubhouse. Do you feel that with Joe Madden at the helm that type of issue would be minimized or with the leadership the Cubs have within the clubhouse already?
Well, I don't think, you know, he's you know, certainly the Bryce Harper thing was troubling. And, you know, he's a guy who's not afraid to say what he thinks. And sometimes he's politically incorrect and turns off people. But I think among his teammates, I mean, since he got cut loose, you've seen whether it was John Lester with the Cubs, David Ortiz with the Red Sox. I mean, you've seen a lot of former teammates and guys that have been managers or coaches on his teams have stepped forward and said, you know, this is a good, solid guy. You know, I would welcome having him on the team. So going off that, I think it's a little bit overblown, those concerns. And I go back to the Bryce Harper situation last year where he confronted Harper and strangled him. I mean, I guess his hands did wind up around his neck. I mean, he wasn't the Boston Strangler. I think maybe to strangle somebody, you have to actually kill them. But beyond that definition, you know, the Nationals were in complete free fall. The manager had lost the clubhouse, maybe in spring training, Matt Williams, and it was a total mess. And Papelbon yelled at Harper because he was dogging it down the line. In Joe Madden term, he wasn't respecting 90. So what, you know, this wasn't a stupid situation, like somebody didn't like where somebody, what seat somebody took on the team flight or the bus, or somebody got in a fight in a card game, or all the millions of stupid things that happen when you're around people all the time. You know, this was because Papelbon didn't like the way Harper played, and, you know, he confronted him. He obviously did it the wrong way, and doing it in public view like that was way wrong. But nevertheless, you know, his motives might not have been as bad as people kind of, you know, people might kind of lost track of that motive. So I'm not a huge advocate of Papelbon. I'm not saying he's going to come in and be the answer, but I'm saying it's a why not try it. And this is the time, this is still the time of the year when you can take a look at different possibilities and scenarios. And one thing he has is a toughness and guts. Although I went back and looked at the bullpen last year and how they pitched. And I think it was a, you know, I think the weakness of the team, the Cubs in the playoffs last year, was the back of the rotation. Hamill didn't finish the year that well. Hendricks, for whatever reason, Madden had him on a real short leash. And so those 3 and 4 starters didn't really necessarily match up. And the bullpen seems thin. But then you go back and look, and Strope pitched very well in the postseason. Grimm pitched very well in the postseason. Rondon pitched well in the postseason. Travis Wood gave up a couple runs, but was probably a useful reliever in the postseason. So in the big picture, they actually, that whole core went through a playoff that probably gave them more confidence. So it's not like they haven't done it before, but I do think they weren't really tested in those games. There weren't a lot of games that went down to, you know, protect that lead. They had the luxury of slugging a lot against the Cardinals, hitting all those home runs, and then against the Mets, they didn't score. So the bullpen was really a non-factor.
Phil Rogers writes for MLB.com. You can follow his great Twitter feed at Phil G. Rogers on Twitter. Phil, thank you so much for jumping on the phone. I look forward to talking to you as we get towards October.
Thanks very much. Have a good day.
Thank you, Phil. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala in for John Williams. Sam Panayotovich is up next on 720 WGN.